Thank you, guys. Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here this morning. We have a couple of announcements. First of all, we have POP today. Ooh. Gleaners. Sherry is asking for help. You can give her a call and see if she can plug you in somewhere. I think she's got some places that she's looking for help, so that would be great. And Gleaners is Wednesdays, 10:55. They open it up at 11 o'clock. And the food goes fast, I've heard. Also, if you know somebody that is in need of food, be sure and call. You can either leave a message on the church phone because they get the messages, or you can call Sherry or Helen, either one. So, prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. It's great to pray for each other. We do it right from our home. You can do Zoom, or you can use your phone and just be on the phone with us. But it's great to be able to pray for each other. Our potluck is today, first Sundays of the month, so I'm encouraging you to stay if you want to, because we love to have some interaction with each other. That's good for everybody. Fun fellowship. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the sunshine that you've put out there, but we also thank you for the rain that you've given us this week. Father God, be with us, be with our singing, and be with Pastor Teresa with the service sermon, Lord. I know you've put something special on her heart, and we are just so thankful that we have her here to learn more about you. We just sing praises to you right now, Lord, and we just lift it up to you to glorify your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So we're going to stand to the call to worship, and it's Psalm 77, 13 through 15. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Amen. I will praise him. Hallelujah. Oh, I praise the Lord who bought me, hallelujah. I'm a happy pilgrim bound to glory land. I am singing and I hope to sing forever, when before his throne eternal I shall stand. I will praise him, hallelujah. I will praise him more and more. If I had 10,000 lives in which to praise him, I could not enough my blessed Lord adore. I will praise him for salvation, hallelujah. Riches, treasures, human spirits ever found. Once I wandered far away, was sad and lonely, but I'm dwelling now where treasures ever abound. I will praise him, hallelujah. I will praise him more and more. If I had 10,000 lives in which to praise him, I could not enough my blessed Lord adore. I will praise him for the strength he gives me. I am running now to gain that heavenly prize. with joy I'll reach the goal of life immortal and go sweeping through the gates of paradise. I will praise Him, hallelujah. I will praise Him more and more. If I had 10,000 lives in which to praise Him, I could not enough my blessed Lord adore.
Praise Him, praise Him.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangel in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Are we kind of getting the theme that we're praising today?
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer, in Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and ease, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. God bless each and every one of you. Father, Lord, thank you for the many blessings and gifts you have so mercifully given, graciously. Your unmerited love and favor that you pour out on our lives, we say thank you. Please take back what we humbly return in obedience to you and multiply it as you faithfully always do. Amen.
I cry aloud to God, and He will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. You, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen.
Anybody agree with me that his ways are higher? Thank you, Debbie, for preparing our hearts. Anyone feel like they lost their mind at some point this last week? I just lost mine. My cell phone is at home, so I'm having to use the big one. But there's somebody who always helps us keep our mind, amen? Mm-hmm. Anybody have a request or a praise from this last week they would like to lift up the potty with? Prayer for New York City and the flooding they're going through right now. Pretty much the whole East Coast, much less our entire nation, to turn back to the Almighty. God is a gentleman, and a gentleman will leave when he's asked, but so also will his protection go. Lord, come. Protect your people. Anybody else? Rhonda. Mm-hmm. So prayer for Christy and your granddaughter Emily, as Emily continues to come back from a lot of different allergies that have caused skin rashes and problems, and the rehoming of some dogs. And everybody here has had a very dear pet and know what that is like. So prayer for Christy, kind of grieving through that loss, and prayer that Emily will continue to improve as her environment has changed. Anyone else? Fred. So prayer for Fred and Carolyn's good friends, Carol and Larry Trove. Carol just lost her sister. Do we know Carol's sister's name?
Alita.
Alita. So prayer for Alita's family and for Carol and Larry. Anyone else? Okay. Alita at the age of 80. Anyone else have a request? I have a praise. My whole family is here on a Sunday. I don't know how anyone else was raised, but I like to make the joke that when I was young, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church every Sunday by my parents. And I tell that to my kids in my classrooms, and automatically I have everyone's attention, right? When I tell them, when I was young, I had a drug problem. Boop, every kid, you know. I was drugged to church every Sunday, and it did me good. And then they're all like, okay, back to my work. My point where I'm going with this, though, is that was a family choice that brought me to a bigger family. And you guys are family to me. Because of that. And so when someone in the family is hurting, it hurts the whole family. And I'm just glad my whole family is here with my whole family. That's what I'm trying to say. Anyone else?
I have a phrase I got to go
Oh my goodness, a great-granddaughter Avery turning one. What a praise. And to think that Brad is a grandpa. Oh my gosh. Those days are coming, but not too soon. I'm not ready yet. Anyone else? How about some rain? He makes his rain fall on the just and the unjust, and thank God he does. Because sometimes the unjust produce our food. And so thank him for bringing the rain. And a beautiful day today. A beautiful day on the weekend. Yes. Rain all week. I don't care. Exactly. Yes. Of us all. Pastor Teresa is saying praise for the government not shutting down, for them to get their act together a little bit, but praise or prayer that our government gets it together for the benefit and safety and well-being of those governed. Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. They never kick the can that far down the road. Yeah. Prayer that our elected leaders at all levels find God's wisdom. That's really where it's at. Carolyn. The what is? Oh, the way things are happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know how God closes a door and then sometimes open a window and you have to crawl through it and hope you don't fall off the other side and have faith that it's not a second story window and you don't know it? That was Tony. There was a trampoline at the bottom. He's bouncing along. He's starting afresh. And we hear stories about the chaos that he left behind at his school now. And then you look at all the weather stuff and, you know, God closed the door to bring him somewhere else. And so I trust he is being mightily used in Sandy work. And I almost got him to come out for a weekend and keep working on it. He's not that far away now. He doesn't have to fly out. Anybody else? Sarah. Better than crutches. You know, it's a testament to God's goodness that Dason, Laura's husband, Dason Tiaganko, and Landon's current teacher, Laura Tiaganko, that Dason came through his open heart surgery so well. He's still recovering so well, and that God was there for them through that. They acknowledged it. They knew him. They know him. And now Laura's hurt, and they still know him. It hasn't changed through the toughest times. I want to share praise about Landon's current teacher. We found out that she asked the principal to have him in her classroom this year. She has a great love for our son. And you know how far love goes? It goes a long way in building relationships and making people be motivated to making positive change, leading them to righteousness. I saw your hand wink. Wink is lifting up this Tuesday. He has an appointment to get an injection in both eyes. And he is praying and wants us to pray along with him for recovery of sight, especially in your left eye. Did I hear you correctly? In his left eye with these injections. Yeah, we'll continue to remember Helen with her eyes and her recovery too. I know there's three kids who really enjoy Children's Church and enjoy her. And so, Lord, heal Helen's vision. If you're guilty that you haven't called Helen this week, but you are taking her on Wednesday, I'm guilty that I've looked at the prayer chat twice all week because it's been insane. So, I'm glad it's there, and I usually check it about 10:30 at night. Anyone else? So prayers for Katie and Linda traveling back for Ed's memorial service, right? Did I get it right? Okay. So safe travels for Katie and her husband coming from abroad, all the way from England to come to the memorial. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. So Linda is continuing to lift up Libby and her vision, and that she's not back home yet. Been a hard week for Libby, so it's continuing to lift up Libby as well for her recovery. And, you know, there's something about just being home. Makes things better. Just does. Anybody else? All right, let's go together as a church family. Father, Lord, thank you for the many blessings you give, especially just your very nature given to us through your Holy Spirit living in our hearts. Your righteousness, your holiness, your justice, all combined with your love. How they mold us, shape us, prepare us for every tough challenge, and make our heart grateful for every good thing you give. You are God Almighty, and you are our God. Forgive us when we lose that focus through the week. Forgive us when we fall short in modeling that in our lives. Give us the strength to always do so in the toughest moments. When one family member is hurt, then another, and it seems endless, let us always remember that we were fearfully and wonderfully made by you and for a purpose that you give us. And thus, we are invaluable to you. And from that great place of love, Lord, we lift up many that have needs. Lord, it seems right now that there are many who need vision restored. We lift up Wink. We lift up Helen. We lift up Libby. As you did for the Apostle Paul, restore their sight, Lord, for your kingdom's sake. Bring healing to their eyes. Lord, for Landon's teacher, reach down, Holy Spirit, right now into her leg and bring healing, speed healing, Holy Spirit, so that he and all the children may benefit from her great love she channels from you. Lord, thank you for 1 year birthdays for great grandchildren and the future and hope you have promised in them. Thank you for health returning to children so they can grow and develop and learn about you. Lord, we pray for this nation that we live in, for our leaders. You have commanded us. You have called us. In many places in your words, you say, pray for those who are in leadership over you. So, Holy Spirit, come knock on the doors of hearts and minds. Bring reason and wisdom to this leadership across our land. That wise decisions be made that benefit all people. That freedom is provided so that your love is easily seen. Lord, we lift up those at the top of leadership right now. There seems to be so much chaos, uncertainty, even corruption. But we know you are not corrupt. You are righteous today, righteous yesterday, righteous forever. So come, bring your righteousness and clean house in the hearts of all of those who are tasked with leading this nation. Do that very same thing in our hearts every day, Lord. That in the areas of leadership you have given us, we reflect your love through our actions, our voices, our word choices, to everyone we come in contact with. Thank you, God, for this great calling and this great privilege you have given us. In your name we pray. Amen. Any kids in the house? Come on up, kids. There's a big one right here. Better watch out. They're all smiling. Not only are you running up here, you're jumping around. Got to get those shoes strapped on just right for this one.
My teacher says that chaos is scary.
Yeah, chaos can be scary. But you know what? I know the keeper of the wind. I know the keeper of the rain. I know the keeper of the storms.
It's God.
It's God. No. That's right. That's right. We do not operate from the spirit of fear. Oh, you ready? Okay, let's do it. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and sing it, Claire. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, brown, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Good job, guys.
Pickles.
All right, let's go.
Pickles.
Bubba, it's time to go sit down. Yeah, yeah, let's go sit down.
What about children's church?
Oh, we don't have children's church. Oh, but let's say a prayer.
Oh.
You guys got me all confused.
Oy, oy, oy.
Hey.
This again?
Of course, we always get to pray again. Are you ready?
No.
No?
No children's
church. Oh, not today. But we can listen to what God is laying on the heart of Pastor Teresa.
Well, Grandma's here to do it.
Well, Grandma's not ready, though. Father God, thank you for the eagerness in the hearts to spend time knowing who you are. Father God, let the message that you have given Teresa reach even into these hearts today. And into our minds. And let us all be your children, listening to our shepherd, to hear what you have for us today. Amen. All right, let's go. Let's sit down.
Brother Landon's the best, is he not? If we could all just be eager to come to the house of God, to have that same excitement, right? About how God is going to move in our lives and hear what the word of God says for us. That's why God said before, let those children come to me, because they are an example. They are a blessing and they can be a blessing. So thank God for our young ones. So good morning, good people. Thank you all for joining us today here in the house, and those who are watching us online, welcome. We're going to be spending the next couple of weeks in the book of Philippians. It's the letter that Paul writes to the church there. It's an actual letter to the new converts. They were not Jewish people at all, but he that's how Paul's ministry was about. He actually wasn't like the other disciples who focused on winning over Jewish people and telling them that the Messiah has come. Paul's ministry was focused on those who were not of the household of faith. They were not Jewish people. Nonetheless, they knew about the Jewish God. And some of them had been like, I've never heard of him. Oh, that one story. Oh, yeah, I know that one story, but is that real? So he used that to get into people's hearts and tell them, no, there really is a God. And he really does want to be in relationship with you. So he planted the first church there in that city of Philippi during his second missionary journey, sometime around 50 AD. So 50 years after Christ had resurrected, gone back to glory, the Apostle Paul planted a church there. And this city is actually named after Alexander the Great's father, Philip of Macedonia. That city was strategically placed in the thoroughfare for trade in that area. So all the things going and coming went through that city. And it's also known for its school of medicine. And some scholars believe that Luke himself, who was a disciple of Jesus, actually lived in Macedonia and may have actually gone to school there at that medical school since he was a physician by trade. Now, when Paul sends this letter, he is actually in a Roman jail. Paul, he's such a fascinating person because he does some jail time. And he writes letters to the churches, to the other believers from jail. And so this time around, he's in a Roman jail and he writes to the church there in Philippi. it was actually Philippi where he was jailed previously. Because do you know that story? Do you know why he got put in jail when he was in Philippi the first time around? It's because he had cast out the demon from the woman who was doing the fortune telling. And so then her masters got angry because that was their source of income. Why are you messing with her like that? Because she could no longer tell people's fortunes. So they got angry. That was very alarming and upsetting. So they had the popo go and get Paul, and Silas was with him, and throw him into jail. You can read about that account in Acts chapter 16. But here's how God showed up, even when they were in jail. Paul and Silas sat there and sang and prayed, and God showed up miraculously, opened the doors so that they could walk out and be set free to go and do more ministry. Miraculously released them from jail. This time, however, Paul is in a Roman prison, and he sends his letter to encourage the believers in Philippi to keep the faith. No matter what's happening in your life, keep the faith. So follow as I read from the Message translation, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in the community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. I want to repeat that sentence. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. Yes, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life And then he died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lift him high and honor him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus the Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. Amen. That was a mouthful. That Paul, you know, that's Paul. That's his style. He's going to give you a whole bunch of theology and a whole bunch of stuff. But if you know the word of God, you understand what he's saying. You're like, oh, yes, that's true. That's right. These are the things we know about God. Remember in his previous letter? What do you know about God? What has been your relationship with God? No one should just be able to come and kick you out or get you, woo you away from church with their crazy wild ideas. Because A, you should know the word of God. B, you should know who God is just from your lived experience. So they can't easily cause you to go astray. I you've heard me argue before that Paul is quite practical. And this is another one of his practical letters. He believes in providing common sense ways to practice our faith. So he writes to the church at Philippi. They're about 12 years old now, that congregation. He writes to encourage them. Again, he's in jail himself. If anyone should be depressed, it might be him going, why am I in jail again? I'm just doing the right thing. Yet here I am. But no, he says, well, yep, I'm in jail once again. But I want to encourage you to keep the faith, to keep doing what you know you're supposed to be doing. So he argues that as believers, we have joy no matter what. We have joy in knowing Jesus Christ right here and now. His Holy Spirit lives in us. And we have joy in the hope of living with him forever once this world is over. So we got joy now and we'll have joy later. Kind of like the candy, now and later. That's what it's going to be about. So the lesson lies in that we experience God's joy because we experience his presence. So listen to what Paul says. God, you know, promised us time and again, if you go back through the Old Testament, that he would be with his people. And then he reiterates it by Jesus' very life in the New Testament. He sent Jesus to live among us and be the physical manifestation of God with us. Hence his name, Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. He's not some faraway God. He's not some God in a storybook that we can't really know. He is actually with us. He understands us. He understands our hearts. He anticipates all of our needs and our desires. This is the God that we have, and this is why we have joy. It's because he is actually with us. So after Jesus returned to heaven, God sent his Spirit to live inside of us, inside of his people. So again, we still have God with us, just in a different form. And for this reason, we have joy that the world cannot take away from us. Amen, somebody. Now, Paul further argues that the joy of knowing Christ doesn't diminish by our circumstances. Remember, because the joy is this: God is with us now, and God will be with us later. So no matter how many bills you have to pay, no matter how people irritate you, no matter how many times you are disappointed in any of the things in your life, you still have joy. Why? Because God is in you. You have a relationship with God. So Paul points this out. He says to us, even though I'm in jail, I'm still going to shine my light for God's glory. And so I want you all to know, believers, that even during challenging times, like being in jail, You must take on the mindset of Jesus Christ himself, because that is how you overcome all of the challenges, all of the bad things that are happening. I don't understand why we keep getting sick. I don't understand why I can't get caught up on my bills. I don't understand all the things you don't understand, all the things that irritate you. He says, put on the mindset of Jesus Christ, and you will be more than a conqueror. In verses 5-8, Paul essentially says, now, if you know anything about Jesus, you know that he was humble. And you too should be humble. And instead of putting yourself first all the time, consider the needs of others. It's important that we as believers, again, he's writing to people who actually believe in God, right? They believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So he says to them, if you want to operate well and be the family of God that God has designed you to be, you need to stop being selfish and always putting yourself first. You have to think about the people around you. You really do. Because it's not about you. Put on the mindset of Jesus Christ. Did he come and think that everything was about him? He should have. He could have. He's God, for crying out loud. Yet he didn't do that. So we who follow Christ, who name the name of Christ, we need to be the same way. Put on that mindset of Jesus Christ. Not always putting ourselves first, but consider the needs of others. The Message translation words it, if you have a heart, if you care, agree with each other, love each other. I love this phrase, be deep-spirited friends. It's a beautiful way of looking at it. What does that mean? To be deep-spirited friends. I think it means I recognize the spirit in you. So we might be different. We come from different backgrounds, we're different ages, different economic background, whatever the things are that make us different. We have one common theme, and that's the Jesus Christ that's in each of us. So we set aside our differences and we try to work for the greater good. We try to work for God's glory. Deep spirited friends. That means when we come to an impasse, when we come to a challenge, we don't get mad. We don't put our hands on our hips and go, well, I'm not going to play because Sister Lori didn't do this and Sister Linda didn't do that. So I'm going to take my goodies and I'm going to go home. I'm not staying for the potluck. Okay. I mean, you could do that. But if you're mature in Christ, you're going to choose a different way because you're going to say to yourself, well, you know, I am feeling some kind of way about what just went down, but I know that Sister Lori and Sister Linda, they didn't mean those things. I know them better than that. I know the Jesus in them knows the Jesus in me. So how do we work things out? Be deep-spirited friends. Allow the Holy Spirit to live inside of you so that you can come over, you can overcome any of the things that show up in our family here. And listen to what he later says. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Now, if it's always about me, you're going to have a problem helping others. Because you're always thinking, how can others help me? Right? There's a difference in those things. How can others help me and how I can help others. That's a flip script. And God is saying he wants us to be thinking about how I can help others. Yes, I have needs. It's not saying that you should not take care of your needs. Don't walk away with that because you are also useless to God if you are not taking care of yourself, right? You need a job so that you can have housing, so that you can have clothing, so that you can have all the things. You need to take care of your mental health, all of those things. And then you can turn around and actually help somebody else. So it doesn't mean to the detriment of yourself, you never take care of yourself. You're always taking care of others. That's not a good practice. That's not what God is asking of you. He's saying, pause, pump the brakes, stop being so concerned with only you, and look at your fellow brothers and sisters, your siblings in Christ. What's happening in their lives. because you may have something that they need. Oh, you need help with hanging that picture? Oh, I have a hammer. Do you have a nail? Voila. Now you're getting somewhere. But if you're sitting with that hammer going, it's kind of funny that Sister Judy's trying to hang that. She doesn't have a hammer. Oh, that's too bad. And keep moving on. Like, what's up with that? What does it say here? Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Just long enough. Just 5 minutes of your time to lend the hammer. I'm not even asking you to hammer the nail in. Just, would you like to use my hammer? Simple things. But because sometimes we all into ourselves, we forget those simple things count. So Paul points out how humble Jesus was. Jesus is God and was having a great time in heaven. And in my mind, I think to myself, oof, I don't know if I could do that for y'all. Because here I am in heaven. Oh, things are so perfect and wonderful, and I'm happy all the time. I never get sick because I'm not in a human body. And everyone's praising me because I'm the creator. And so God says, yeah, but we're creating humans in our image, and we need, they're going to cut up, and so we're going to need somebody to go. I would have been like, oh, well, maybe spirit can go, because nope, I'm not doing that. That means I'm going to get my nails dirty. I have to use the bathroom like they do. Ew. I'm going to have to do all the things that humans do, and I'm going to have to give up being here? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you should just make them into robots, and then we don't have to worry about saving them. But no, he didn't do that. He said, stay here, be happy and fine, or watch humanity fail and we never get to be in fellowship with them? Yeah, that ain't right. I'm going down. I'm going to do this. That's the mind of Christ. I'm going to be humble enough to change my core for the benefit of God himself. He steps out of heaven, puts on human flesh, and becomes one of us, lives with us. He sees everything. He experiences life just like us. And listen to what Paul says. He gave it up forever. So once now that Jesus is human, he doesn't get to go back to that deified state that he was once in. He sacrificed that for us. Do y'all understand that? He sacrificed that. So he is that Lamb of God. He's not going to go back to that former state that he was in before he came as a human. Forever changed. Why? Because he loves us that much that he would give of himself. And then the worst got crucified. He died that ugly death. Now, let me tell you something about crucifixion. There were other countries, groups of people who practiced crucifixion, but from the studying that I did, Romans actually perfected crucifixion. They came up with different ideas of, ooh, how can we really, really torture people? When it's like, really? Who sits and does that? They must have had extra time on their hands. But that's what they did. They perfected execution through crucifixion. And it's usually, they didn't normally crucify Roman citizens. It was actually reserved for unruly indentured servants, disgraced soldiers. You know, if you left your post and you're supposed to be doing the things for the Roman Empire and you didn't, crucifixion. And they like to crucify foreigners cutting up in their midst. So they didn't normally crucify their own citizens. And yet Jesus, who didn't do any of those things, subjected himself to that type of death, right? So if it were me, I'd be like, let's find a different way I can die, and then yeah, I might do it. No, he died the death of crucifixion. Like he was some common criminal. But he did it so that he could reconcile us back to God. Now, the Old Testament passages are filled with the theme of humility. It is one of the things that God seeks from us. Second Chronicles 7. And I know many of you know these verses, 13 and 14. If my people will humble themselves, God says to the people of Israel, he will heal their land. He will change things for them. Proverbs 11, verse 2 teaches us that humility comes with wisdom. If you are humble, you're going to learn some things out of life. You're going to become way more wiser than those who are walking around thinking the earth rotates around them. Proverbs 22:4 says this, says that humility is how we show God we honor him and recognize who he is. Again, I'm not the creator. I don't have a heaven or a hell. I didn't start this thing. I am not God. There is a God, however. I recognize that there is a creator. So when we are humble, we honor God and who he is. The prophet Micah taught the people of Israel to walk humbly with God. This is what God requires of you. Be humble. Follow his direction. Walk in the roads that he wants us to be walking instead of going our own selfish ways. Another Proverbs passage is Proverbs 27, verse 2. Let someone else praise you, not your own mouth. I love that. A stranger, not your own lips. That is translation for stop bragging about yourself. I'm this, I'm that, and then I got this award and then that award. When I was 2, I was voted the most popular child in my daycare. And then when I was in 5th grade, I mean, there were people, you meet them, maybe you don't know anybody like that, but I've met a lot of people over the years, and within 5 minutes, they're telling you about all the wonderful things that they are. I'm just like, okay, wow. Wow, that's the first thing you want me to know about you. Okay, congratulations for your 5th year when you were back in grade school. That's awesome. And what do you like now? Are you wanting me to pat you on the back because you're standing here in front of me? What are we looking for? You don't need to brag about your own goodness. That's not being humble. You let God do that through the people around you. God will take care of that. But again, if you're consumed with I, me, it's going to look different. So, we have a boatload of verses, scriptures in the Old Testament, but God still speaks in the New Testament. He says, I still want you to be humble. Now that Jesus is here doesn't mean that you get to not be humble. Luke 14 tells us that those who humble themselves will be exalted by God. And I love that because Jesus is an example. But Paul teaches his believers in Ephesians 4 to be completely humble and gentle. I like that. Completely humble and gentle. This is what God wants from us. Colossians 3, verses 11 and 12. Clothe yourself with humility. Remember Paul's words in his last letter that we studied in Romans? He says to clothe yourselves in Christ. And he interchanges those terms, clothing yourself with Christ, clothing yourself with humility. Why? Because Christ was humble. So there's something about that you have to keep in your mind. Oh, why is God telling us that? Because he needs you to be like his son. This is how we win others to Christ. With humility. Humility. James teaches that God favors those who are humble. So if you go to James chapter 4, 6 through 10, you're going to see how he explains. Again, this is what Jesus wants from us. This is what God wants from us. To be like his son. Put on that mindset of Jesus Christ. What is the mind of Christ? Well, the first thing that Paul says is to be humble. All of those scriptures attest to that. The second quality that Paul points out is Jesus' willingness to serve God and then turn around and serve humans. Well, how did Jesus do that? Well, I just gave you the scenario. He served God by completing God's salvation plan. God said, okay, I'm going to make humans. They're going to be like us. That means they're going to have free will. They're not going to be robots. So I know that they're going to choose their own way. How do I get them back in relationship with me? I'm going to need a savior. So the Godhead talks amongst themselves, and the Spirit said, well, if Jesus goes and does that, then I'll do the other part of saving them afterwards and keeping them living saved until Jesus returns. So Jesus subjected his will, giving up his nice nails and being in heaven, eating all the time and doing what he wanted to do, to become human like us. He was obedient to God. He served God in that way, and that he came to be his lamb. He modeled servanthood while he lived among us. He told his disciples one day that he came not to be served, but to serve. Remember? Mark 10, verse 45. He tells them, yeah, I know, I'm the rabbi. But I'm not here to do that. I'm not here to be above you. I'm actually here to serve you. Just like I serve God, I want you to be served. And then he says, I want you to go and do the same thing. He washed their feet. When you go to Mark 10, again, that's the job of a servant. It is not the job of a rabbi. No rabbi back then would sit and wash their people, their disciples' feet. That's not their job, right? And yet, that's what Jesus did. That's what he did. He served. And Jesus tells his disciples not to be like the world, but instead, listen to what he says, to be a leader, one must be a servant to everyone else. That's that same passage. You want to lead in the house of God, I need you to be willing to serve. It can't be all about you. I need you to serve. So we've got humility, we've got service. The third thing I think that Paul is highlighting here is, again, Christ's obedience. Christ obeyed God. And he serves God by being the Lamb who took away the sins of the world. He is obedient to God by doing his will and surrendering his own. Now, some people I know think, well, if they're equals, why is Jesus being obedient? Because that's how the Godhead works. Watch what he did, because he did. He surrendered his own will. Jesus' example for us is vital because he demonstrates how to be honest with ourselves and to be honest with God. And I think this is the trick of the enemy, that as believers, especially if you've been in church a long time, you start comparing yourselves to other people and you start thinking, you know, I have to be happy all the time and never act like I have problems because, you know, God saves us. And so I need to act like everything is saved and everything is fine. But that's not what God expects from us at all. You may tell yourself that, or you may have other people telling you that. It's a lie. No, 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 no. When you look at Jesus, he's what my one of my mentors says. He's keeping it real. Jesus is keeping it real. Look at that passage when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he is about to face the cross, he was praying that night, asking God, you know, I signed up for this, but is there another way we could save the people without me having to go this particular route? And what does he say? He answers his own question. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. That's amazing, because he is still God. He could say, yeah, I was with doing the miracles and stuff and having people talk about me behind my back. It's no big deal. But now you actually want to be crucified? Yeah, no. I'm good. I'm just going to go back to heaven now. But he didn't. He stayed and performed the will of God. He is the example to us that says, yes, you do have free will. Yes, you can do what you want. However, if you truly love me, if you truly care, you're not going to just go and do all the things that you are big enough and brave enough or crazy enough to do. You are actually going to say, God, I don't know about this, but I trust you. And I want to do your will and not my own. So that's what Jesus did, modeling that for us. And during his ministry on earth, Jesus explained to the people who chose to follow him, as well as those who doubted his identity, that he did not do his own will. He did the will of the Father. So mind you, just like Paul points out, he didn't have to do anything because he is God. And yet he chose to. He could have said, okay, God, that's great that you want to create humans in our image, but you know that they're not going to act right. So just why bother? Why bother with that? They still need to be reconciled back to us, and I'm not going to do that. He didn't say those words. That would have been a selfish way of being, but he did not do that. He really could have said that and done that, but he didn't. John chapter 5 records Jesus explaining to the religious leaders, that he came to live out God's will. Listen to what he says in verse 19. This is found in John 5, 19. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. So whatever the Father does, the Son also does. You see that? He's deferring his will to that of God. I'm only here doing what God wants me to do. Because if it was up to me, y'all can kick rocks. But he didn't do that. He was like, no, I'm God as well. And I want to have relationship with you. And so I'm going to do all this work because I need you to know who I am. And for those of you who don't believe, I'm actually doing what God is telling me to do. Because remember, he's now human. So he has given up, he has sacrificed a lot of his deity to be in human form. He's doing nothing but what God the Father is allowing him to do and asks him to do. So whatever the Father is saying and wanting me to do, that's what I'm doing. Paul infers that believers will be exalted like Jesus was if we obey God. Read verses 9 through 11 again. Because of that obedience, God lifted him up high and honored far beyond anyone or anything, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow and worship before Jesus the Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all to the glorious honor of God the Father. Other scripture talks about when we make ourselves low, God will lift us up and raise us high. This is why you don't need to be trying to worry about competing with everybody, trying to be better than everybody, trying to out-sing or out-pray or out-teach a Bible study. No, just stop. You don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. Be obedient and do what God is asking you to do, and he's going to recognize you and he's going to make all the things right. Jesus is exalted and honored above all creation because he was obedient to God and did God's will. Like the scriptures of old, we too will be lifted up from our humble places when we submit our wills to God. All of these points that Paul argues in the purpose of writing his letter is to show that we can experience God's joy, God's victory, because he is right here with us. His example through Jesus teaches us how to do that. Be humble. Be a servant. Have that mindset of Christ to be obedient to God. So this is why Paul says in verse 17 that we didn't read, that if he were to be executed that same day, he would rejoice because he got to be used by God. Isn't that something? Can we say that? Yeah, I don't care what happens to me. If this is my last day on earth, I live like I was supposed to. When I go to meet my Creator, I'm going to be happy about it because I was the best mom. I was the best. I gave what I had to Jesus and I used it. Whatever he gave me, I used it for his glory. And that's what Paul says in verse 17. All the things. This is why we have joy. Because Jesus is with us now, empowering us to live for him. And we will be with him later. So, my friends, like Paul, I urge you to imitate Christ. Put on that mind of Christ. Because I promise you, there's going to be situations in our lives. There's going to be people in our lives. They're going to challenge us. They're going to challenge our faith. But stay steady. Steady on what you know about God, your relationship with him, what you know about the word of God. Know that we can experience his joy every single day because God is with us. His presence brings us joy despite our circumstances in this present world. We can be like Paul and choose to focus on being used by God for his glory, no matter what happens or where we are, what happens, we can have that joy. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your holy word that inspires us. Thank you for Paul's words. I mean, they were written literally thousands of years ago. And yet they ring true to us now. It is the living word of God. We thank you for it. I pray, God, that this living word would be in our hearts. As we leave this place, we remember who you are and whose we are. We belong to you. Help us to shine our light. Sometimes we may feel like we're imprisoned, but even when we're in that state of mind, help us to have the mind of Christ so that we can be victorious, so that we can yet let our light shine for your glory. We thank you, God, for using us. Thank you for helping us to be humble. Thank you for helping us to have hearts of servitude and to be obedient to you. It's in your holy name that we pray these things for your glory. Amen. All right, let's close with a song and then I'll come back with our benediction.
We're going to stand and close with "I Worship You, Almighty God."
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for his word. For those of you who are watching, you know, sometimes I forget that you're not in our space. So you may have questions about this Jesus we've been talking about this God that we believe in. Reach out to us. We are willing to talk with you more about who God is and how you can be introduced to him. So for those of us here in our building, go with God. He is never, ever away from you. That's his promise to us. He is always with us. His spirit lives in us so that we can show this world what true joy is, right? So go, my dear brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, carrying that spirit with you to show others, to be a servant to others, to love them, to forgive them, to be a helping hand, all for God's glory. May you have a wonderful week until we meet again. Go in his grace and in his power. Amen?
Amen.
And for those of you who would like to stick around for our potluck, I'll be sharing pictures from Israel. So I hope you can stay. Lord bless you.
All right. That's fun.